Hello everyone. This is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for the 22nd of November. The Bible readings will be taken from the New International Version. Good morning. What a year, this 2020. Lots of unforeseen, unknown things. A year ago, no one knew the word coronavirus or COVID-19. No one had imagined having to fill out an attestation to leave their home, prohibited to go to restaurants, to the cinema, not allowed to celebrate weddings as usual. So there is a biblical text which was probably banned from the messages this year. It is the parable described in Matthew 25, the one which tells us of a bridegroom who is slow to arrive, and of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. We know the history of the virgins well, the wise and the foolish ones. They were all asleep, but when the bridegroom finally arrives, they wake up and turn on their lamps, except that 5 of them hadn't planned a supply of oil. And they quickly went off to buy some at the night store, because there was no curfew and no special attestation was needed. But on returning, they found the door of the room where the wedding was celebrated closed, gone off to buy some oil. Oil has an important place in the Bible, but also in everyday life. This summer, when Patricia was at the Gite to help me clean and disinfect, suddenly, she urgently called Antonino to tell him to go shopping, especially to buy oil, because she had run out. Oil for cooking, I suppose. My son buys motor oil frequently. And an oil, quite a different kind of course, is an essential ingredient in making body care creams and ointments. And finally, if you have been camping, real camping like in the good old days, with a tent, a sleeping bag, a campfire, you had, like the young girls in Matthew 25, oil to light your lamp at night. There you go. I'll show you the lamp. We call it a kerosene lamp. But what is kerosene? It is a more fluid oil. In short, oil is important. It's used for cooking, for beauty products, for healing and for lighting. Oil is important in the Bible, not just in the history of these 10 virgins. Take a piece of paper and a pen. I will give you the references of the texts as I go. You can reread them quietly during the week and continue your meditation on the subject. Already in the Old Testament, we find plenty of mentions of oil with very different uses. Most of the time it was olive oil. It was essential for cooking. Remember the poor widow Elijah went to see during the drought? 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 8 to 16. The widow had only a handful of flour and a little oil left. With that, she will bake cakes for Elijah, for herself and her son. And oil and flour will not be lacking until the drought ends in the country. And the miracle in the story of the prophet Elisha, again a woman, she had just lost her husband, who was part of a group of prophets. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. This widow will seek help from Elisha, saying that she has only one bottle of oil left, and according to the translations of the Bible, some add oil to perfume herself. Elisha tells us to go and collect as many containers as she can find, to ask the neighbours for some, and she pours the oil, and the oil continues to flow until she has no more empty containers. She will sell this oil, pay her debts, and thus be able to meet her needs. In these two stories, the oil seems to be inexhaustible. There was always an excess of it. This second widow, the coquette, she had only a little oil left to perfume herself with. She told that to the prophet. The oil was also applied, for example, as a beauty product after a bath. Oil expresses overabundance, even a luxury. In Psalm 23, verse 5, David tells of the Lord, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." A situation of adversity, but of abundance. Oil, a sign of abundance. The oil was also used in abundance for the offerings in the temple. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, you have descriptions of offerings consisting of fine flour with oil poured over it, for offerings of galettes cooked in the oven or in a pan made with flour kneaded with oil. Already Jacob, long before the law was given and written, where he had had a dream, seeing a ladder that ascended to heaven, with angels ascending and descending, he erected a stone and he poured oil on it, in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 18. In these regions, and at that time, the oil was used to dedicate something to a deity. Here it was to the Lord. Oil for consecrating. That is why oil was poured over the utensils of the temple. There was an anointing oil that was used to consecrate kings, a sort of investiture ceremony. Also the priests, Aaron, his sons, and their clothes were sprinkled with oil. The recipe for this anointing oil is found in Exodus chapter 30. And this fragrant oil should be of no use other than anointing holy things for their purpose, service to God. Finally, you are also aware that in the tabernacle and later in the temple, there was a light that should never be extinguished. Candlesticks should always be provided with oil to burn day and night. Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. Oil for light. This is what brings us back to where we started, the 10 virgins, 5 wise, who had a reserve of oil, 5 other ones, foolish, without any reserve. Now, what does this parable mean? At first interpretation is to say to ourselves that we must always be valiant, ready, vigilant. The bridegroom can arrive at any time. This is the literal meaning, even moralizing. Always plan, you never know, just in case. But in this COVID year, we will say, more than ever, we have realized that we cannot foresee everything. What befell us was unpredictable. Procrastination, no mask, mask everywhere, confinement, deconfinement, reconfinement. Who could have foreseen it? You cannot foresee everything in life. It's good to prepare. This is also why people take out insurance. For example, for the car, in case I have an accident. For the home, in case there is a flood or fire. But I don't know if, like me, you must have already had recourse to insurance. It is when we bring it in that we notice that we had not been sufficiently far-sighted. This case is excluded because, in this case, the excess is too high, etc. No, we have to be far-sighted. We cannot foresee everything. We cannot protect ourselves against everything. I put myself in the shoes of these 10 virgins. I had taken half a litre bottle. I needed more. Oh, dear. Yes, what does the parable mean? We can't predict everything. We will all, at one point or another, be caught off guard. The circumstances will be not what we expected. One example is the widow in the story of Elijah. She couldn't have foreseen the drought, otherwise she would have stored more oil and more flour. Another example is the widow in the story with Elisha. She had a good position. Her husband was well regarded. His family lacked nothing. The proof, they had even dared to take out a loan, contract debts to improve their comfort. And now the man dies. The debts are to be repaid. The poor lady, who only thought of perfuming herself with fragrant oil, she sees herself up against the wall, obliged to let her sons go as slaves of her creditor. We can't predict everything. Despite our best preparations, assurances, reserves, There will always be circumstances where we are caught off guard. The first widow could have shut the door in Elijah's face. After all, it was he who, by order of God, announced this terrible drought. The second widow, she could have resented Elisha. Being a prophet is not a stable job with a flawless career path. She could have said, "It was because of his working conditions that my husband fell ill and died. It's your fault, Elisha. He will have to compensate us." There are brave and honest people who are faced with terrible circumstances. Why? They found themselves without resources? So what does this parable of the 10 virgins say, other than the fact that you have to be far-sighted, have reserves? You know well that oil, in many passages in the Bible, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And to fully understand the richness of the scriptures, sometimes you have to examine it in detail. Look at things in context. Do not be satisfied with the detail of Matthew 25, but look, for example, at what oil means in the Bible. Here I come finally to my main reading for today, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 to 13. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found them, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. The Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the harts of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. I purposely read in the French Bible, Louis Second version of 1910. This last verse, when read in this version, does not allow us to continue reading without asking questions. It says in that version, Louis Second, "How do you suck honey from the rock? And how could he get oil out of the hardest rock?" You probably have more recent translations which give us a ready-made interpretation, such as the other French versions, Parole de Vie or The Sower. He made them taste the honey that trickled in the hollows of the rocks and the oil that spurted out in the rocky ground. Honeycombs even take root in cracks in rocks. In the smallest spaces, bees come in and organize their honey factory. The same goes for olive trees. These trees are not very demanding. They are found in the south where it's often dry. They grow on pebbles and give their fruit despite everything. Even an olive tree in a pot with only a little soil, which I sometimes forget to water, gives me a few olives every year. Let's look at this text from Deuteronomy. It's actually a song of Moses. He declares how God takes care of his own. Let's read it again. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. I like this passage. It reminds me of the text that, as advice, was put forward when the first confinement began. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God is for us a refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we have no fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I rule over the nations, I rule over the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God reigns over all the earth, all nations, peoples, COVID or not. Better than that, God chose. He elected his own. He sought them, drew them to himself, and we let ourselves be found by him. Listen to Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 and 10. This describes the people of Israel, but also each of us whom he sought and called, drawn to him. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. This is what God has done for you and for me. He looked for me, he found me, but before I even looked for him. Let's continue reading verses 11 and 12. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft, the Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. You have been chosen by God, otherwise you will not hear his voice. You have been, or for the youngest or recent Christians, you are his brood, his little ones, whom he educates and takes care of. He takes us out of our comfort zone, the cosy little nest. He leads us in bad circumstances, like the widows with Elijah and Elisha. But he doesn't let us down. He spreads his wings to save us, to carry us, to give us rest. Certainly, it sometimes feels like he's beating us, our God. But it is in adversity, that we discover his faithfulness. Verse 13, he made him ascend to the heights of the land, and to climb it takes effort. And Israel ate the fruits of the field. Downhill first, the road to begin with, it's easy. He made her suck the honey out of the rock, the oil that comes out of the hardest rock. Well, adversity at times, those circumstances in life that we wouldn't have chosen. And the oil in all of this? Oil is the image of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do in our life? Let's go back to the beginning of the message. Number one, oil for cooking. The Holy Spirit is the heavenly oil which makes the Word of God for us become digestible, needed. Number two, the oil to consecrate. The Holy Spirit makes us feel that we are apart, that we cannot do, live like everyone else. We are like priests, dressed in a special garment, anointed. Number three, the oil for the kerosene lamp, to enlighten us. Perhaps the parable of the 10 virgins allows us to account for our inadequacy. You can't predict everything. To realise our dependence, God takes care of us and he also instructs us. And Moses makes a comparison with what the eagle does with her little ones. Number four, the oil that perfumes and heals. You anoint my head with oil. Psalm 23 verse 5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Maybe it's not men, just circumstances. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And the image of the oil makes perfect sense. Oil dripping from the rock. Oil for the two widows in different circumstances. God intervenes by his Spirit, and we don't lack for anything. Oil flows in abundance, even or especially in arid places, in difficult times. So in this time when we wait, like the 10 virgins, for the bridegroom, for Jesus, for his return, let us learn from this parable and from the image of the oil that, yes, we must always watch and be far-sighted, but no, we cannot foresee everything. Let us accept the image of dependence with the widows from the stories of Elijah and Elisha, that the circumstances can be very unfavourable even if we do not deserve them. But let's keep our eyes fixed on the image of the abundance of oil, of the plan made for us by Jesus and his Father, the Holy Spirit who accompanies us in the most arid places, the most difficult times, which immerses us each time anew in the river of love of God. The Lord, like an eagle, sometimes places us in difficult circumstances where we learn our dependence. This is the way to discover the abundance he has planned for us, who he has chosen to be his share. I invite you to prayer, a prayer of gratitude. Heavenly Father, in this year of COVID, which we are discovering with its constraints, You allow us, through your word, to also see the abundance that you have set up for us. You can pour out oil from a rock, your peace and your joy in the midst of adverse circumstances. You have planned everything for us. You give us your spirit in abundance. May he be the oil that makes the flower of your word profitable. May he be the oil that consecrates us and sets us apart. May he be the oil that enlightens us in the paths obstructed by the unforeseeable. May we be welcome to live this abundant life with you. Thank you so much for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I suggest that we sing together this hymn, which speaks to us about the river of God's love, the abundance he has for us, and the anointing he gives us. It's gem 589. Plonge-moi dans ta rivière d'amour. Or in English, there is an English version. Soak me in the river of your love. You can find this on YouTube. Amen.